continuing on with Sophia Carlos.
Yeah.
Now, Sophia, we're up to where you fell in love with the local boy in the village, and you told your father.
Not in the village, in Kastoria.
In Kastoria, I beg your pardon. No. And you told your father, he said, don't do anything until I come back from Athens.
Yes. So he went to Athens and spoke to my uncle, and he said to him, Anastasis says, Sophia loves beautiful life. She wants the beautiful stuff, so send her to Australia. She will have a better life there. So when my father came back, he wasn't keen to send me to Australia, I must admit, he wasn't, but my mum was. So we started from there in the 9th of September 1956. I said goodbye to my parents.
As you do. Now, how did your parents and the other people in a small town find out about Australia wanting workers, basically, because they wanted people to come and populate Australia? How was it?
It was the government that started to advertise and telling who wants to go to Australia, and then you approach. They started to get families, actually, young boys. Girls, not so much. They were boys. And families with children. And quite a few from my little village, they left 1953, 54. From the around the other villages, that did the same. So then that's how it happened. And then he sent for me from here to Australia, sent for me to come to Australia.
The person you're the going person, to marry.
Shall I say his name?
It doesn't matter. Yeah. If you don't want to.
And anyway, so the 9th of September, I left Athens with my dad. My dad stayed back, of course, with the boat. And the boat, the name was Tasmania, mind you. yes, that was my journey.
Was it an assisted passage, like the government paid for your expenses? Did you come with the mayor?
There must have been the mayor, but I don't know if they pay or not. But he was, my future husband, was proxy to me and to come to Australia. I don't know what happened, but my dad did give me some money, probably for my own...
For spending money. Spending money, probably did come out with the mayor, which was the assisted passage to go to...
Yeah, I never questioned that, because I wasn't... I don't know what happened to me. I didn't want to come to Australia, to be honest. I must have been a very sad young lady, and leaving back my other person that I loved, and I wasn't interested in anything anyway. So I did say to my mom, though, I will go to Australia because you want me to. I will marry that guy, but I would leave him also in the end.
Okay, so you left Greece unhappily.
Very unhappy. But as a happy person, I was a very happy person. Mm-hmm. I tried to not to be miserable. So when we on the boat, I had my cousin, Kaliroi, and also my other cousin with his family coming to Australia with one child at the time. And I make a lot of friends on the boat. When we were passing, Port Said from there, it was a war there also, mind you, if you remember. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mid-50s,
and
yes.
We had to go all around to come to Australia. That's why we took 35 days on the boat. But while passing the Port Said, we had these little small boats coming and saying, Maria, you want shoes and all that. We thought, what was that all about? So we come out and we put the money on the string, throw it down, they tie up the shoes, and I bought myself a pair of shoes, white shoes, with a platform heels, mind you.
So it was your first shopping off the ship.
So we were quite happy. So we left, of course. So we continue our journey. When we come to Fremantle, we had to get out, do some more shopping. And I don't know, I have to mention this. I bought myself a beautiful see-through bras. I wasn't wearing a bra at the time. At that age, I didn't wear a bra because I was pretty good, actually. Yeah. And I bought myself a bra, pink color, see-through, a little kimono, and a little pants. So I thought, I'm going to get married. I thought, yeah. Anyway, so I took him with me.
What did you think when you arrived in Fremantle and saw Australia for the first time?
I don't know. It was lots of shops, and the smell got me there.
What was wrong with the smell?
I don't know. A certain smell. It wouldn't go away for months and years. And it was a certain drink, cola beer, if you remember.
Very cola sweet. Beer.
And that smell, I had to drink, and I thought, ugh, I didn't want it, so I couldn't drink anything. There were a lot of shops that were beautiful, actually. But as I said, I didn't really care. I was coming to Australia without...
So you just...
Didn't really care,
switch
to
off
be
and
honest.
Didn't.
I was switched off. And I was scared about my friends, have a sort of something to say about singing Bolare. Oh God, that was Dean Martin was singing that on the board, and a lot of Greeks from Rhodes, and I had made good friends from there
on the boat.
On the boat, yeah, staying late night, watching the stars, talking, be friendly. Singing. It was quite nice, actually. And also we had to learn English.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
So you went to English classes?
Yeah, English class. Yeah, we had to say, good morning, my name is what, whatever. And yes, it was quite nice.
It's nice.
I met a family from Portside also. She was coming to her husband with the one child. She was very nice. She was telling me stories that how hot it was in
Portside.
Not Portside. What's the other?
In Arabia. Where were they?
Yeah, I forgot the name of it. Anyway, she said we used to cook. She said to me, with the sun, on the stones. I thought, oh, what is she talking about? She said, yeah, she was very dark actually. Then I stopped believing what she was telling me. But must have been like this. I said to myself. Mm-hmm. And it was too hot, very hot in.
Okay.
Egyptos.
In Egypt.
That's the Egyptos, yes.
Okay, in Egypt. All right, so from Fremantle, back onto the ship, and you come to Melbourne.
Yes.
Was anybody waiting for you in Melbourne?
Yes, my future husband, my fiancé.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, he was waiting for me.
Yes.
And just because, you see, the first, not argument, it took a long time for me to get out of the boat. You see, and...
You didn't want to get out?
I wanted to get out, but it took so long, and he got angry at me. And I thought, oh, what a start. You know what I mean? You know how straight away what you think? I didn't say much. I said, well, I had my cousin there, I had my other cousin there. We got lost each other, and I took time to get out. Probably was meant to be like that. So anyway, who knows? And I remember this particular girl, I never forget this. She was coming out and looking down to see her fiancé. And she said, oh, she said, I don't think I see him. She was looking at the photo, and the person she was looking at, he was much, much older. He had some flowers. She took the flowers, believe me, and she threw it to his face, and she said, I'm not coming. She rushed upstairs. And
what, back into the boat?
She went back to the boat, and she started to cry and screaming. And I think the captain said to her, they all come out, I don't know what happened. And she followed them, and he said to her, I will take you back to Greece. And that's what I remember, what happened. I don't know if it did happen like that or not, but I remember he said to her, I will take you back to Greece. She was such a beautiful girl. Very lovely, beautiful girl. Well, I don't blame her. He was pretty old, the poor guy.
Didn't compare with the photograph
that
he
sent
her.
No, not really. Not at all. It was a lie. So why would she build her life in the lie?
Exactly.
That's not
so
very nice.
So Melbourne, then you get onto the overland with your fiancé.
We stayed one night to his cousins in Melbourne.
And then Adelaide.
That night, actually, I sat down and spoke to my future husband, telling him that I don't want him. I love somebody else's. Would you please go by yourself? I'll wait here. Oh my God. I don't know why I said that. How gusted I mean, fancy telling him to go and leave me in Melbourne. What will I do there by myself? Oh, crazy. Anyway, he said to me, I promised your dad that I would look after you, but it didn't really look after me. It was so jealous.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we come to Adelaide under sufferance.
Yes, suffering Adelaide,
And you lived in Adelaide and you were married.
Not married straight away. I went to have register
Yes.
first, and the priest, I'll never forget this, he asked me if I want to marry this guy. And I almost said no, and he stepped on my foot, and I said, oh! And I said, yes, I married him.
You married him.
Then we got married in 2 weeks'
In
time,
the Greek church, 2 weeks'
the
time.
Greek Orthodox Church in King William. Franklin Street?
Franklin Street was the
Franklin.
first one,
Sorry,
yes.
sorry.
In
In
Franklin Street.
Franklin Street was the old church
Yes,
those
yes.
days, 1956. It was November the 4th. I remember that. So from then on, well, married person. My life wasn't very nice. He was very jealous, struggling along. I couldn't get a job. My job, I went and worked for a while in Glen Ewin fruit
Oh, the fruit cannery.
cannery, you know, those conserves, we make the tin
Jams.
jams. Yes, I worked there for a few months and then come back. And I think at the time we lived in off Gillis Street, in a little street there, renting a place, and got married in that little place. And the first day of my marriage, his cousin, as a gift, he gave me this beautiful dress, Swiss cotton, with a lace. Because it was see-through, he made me took off that dress. He was jealous, and he says, and he slapped me. You're not wearing this again. Oh God, I thought, what is this? Anyway, so I persevere. I said nothing. So the days went by, and then we moved from there.
Okay, so you progress. You had children.
Yes, my first child was born. No, we bought a house actually, and my first child born in 1958 in Hutt Street, 178 Hutt Street. I used to live there, and then after that, we rent that place and went to Broken Hill shooting kangaroos.
Oh.
He was shooting kangaroos.
So he went by himself, or you went as a
No,
family?
he went by himself first, and then he came back and he took me with him and my son. We stayed there in Broken Hill about a year, and I was doing sewing.
That's where you started sewing
Sewing
in
again.
Australia.
I had a beautiful, rich lady that she was, she was really, she had the money and she was making dresses, and I used to charge her whatever. And also the nurses from the hospital, they were coming to me. And we stayed there for a year, and then we left for Mildura picking grapes. And I was a very good worker, tell you what. And he was jealous because I was a very good worker. He was just, I don't know what to say.
Doesn't matter,
That is
it
mine.
doesn't matter.
We left Mildura, we come back to Adelaide. We didn't go to the house, it was still rented. Actually, I lost all my stuff, they stole my stuff.
The furniture.
Furniture, my glory box, everything that I brought from Greece that had been stolen. And I went and stayed with my sister-in-law in Campbelltown. And then from there, I went and worked Vogue Overseas Fashion Factory.
So by this time, how was your command of the English language?
I was actually very keen to learn English. It took me almost 3 years to learn the English language. I worked with a lady from Hungary. She was a migrant here too. And she was putting the radio, believe me, and said, listen to it. And I used to sew there with her. And I was listening to the radio, and it was also as a theater, like a theater on the radio, series.
There used to be plays.
Yeah, plays. And I listened to that, and this is how I started commanding the language. I was very keen to learn the language. I was very, very, I wanted to learn the language. And I did actually. I'm quite happy about it.
Yes, you have, definitely.
Yeah, and
And
I've
with
never.
that, you were able to build your sewing business as
Oh,
well.
yes. And then after that lady, I left, and yes, I had my son then.
That's okay. And then how did you progress with getting more and more clients and building up your business?
We'll come back to my house in Hutt Street.
Yes.
And I decided to have downstairs, to turn it as a shop, dressmaking shop. Yes. In the meantime, my husband left his job. They were Holden. They used to
sack people.
Sack people. Mm-hmm. They sacked him, and something happened to his morale, I suppose, as a man not providing for me and for his job.
Yes.
He went a little bit funny. He started to drink. He was coming home very sad and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I was had the shop. I was sewing, making good money.
Mm-hmm. You're a provider for the family.
I was providing, but he didn't like that. He didn't like that. So things didn't go very well. I had to.
So you decided to separate.
Separate. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yes.
Went your separate ways.
Went separate
yes,
ways. He was staying at home, and I left the house. Went and lived elsewhere. In the meantime, I'm sorry, I had another child after 4 or 5 years, a nice little girl. And so I took my two children and left the house, went and lived elsewhere. And there was my client, Mrs. Boyce. She gave me a shelter, and she also suggested that I should put my two children into orphanage so I can work. So that's what I did at the time being.
Where was this orphanage?
Norton Summit.
So they were just there for a short period of time.
And until I settled myself elsewhere.
And you could go and visit them. And
yeah, I did. I was. And he was also too, the same thing. But he has to get out of the house because my shop was there. And he didn't want to. So I went for a custody of the children. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to say that's a very sad story, but
yeah, well,
it happened so. That way. I feel sorry for him, but he just had to happen that way. So in the end, he left. I came back to my shop. I continue.
Your dressmaking.
The dressmaking. I had my two children back with me, living upstairs. When I went for my custody, also I had to go for the house also because I was paying for it.
So you got your house.
I got my
house. And you got your children. You
had your
business.
I got my children. I continued my sewing. I had a beautiful clientele. But when my daughter was about 4 years old, it was the hotel in Hutt Street right on the corner, and drunken people was passing through from my back street, coming into the back street of my back house, the garden, and sometimes I tripped over drunk people, and I thought, this is not good for my daughter and my children. I had to leave, so I put that on sale, and I went and bought a house in Hectorville. And of course, I had a hard time then, because my clients wouldn't follow me from Glenelg to Hutt Street. It was okay. But from Hutt Street, from Glenelg to
Hectorville was a long way.
And they said to me, Sophia, we cannot follow you. So I thought to myself, what do I do now? So slowly, slowly, I built another clientele. And I was quite happy. I was looked after, actually, for my clients. Some of them that took my children out so I can do a bit of a sewing. I was very lucky girl, very lucky, very optimistic for my, I was by myself then, of course. I got my divorce in 1970. I've been with my children for 5 years. I was very, very happy. They were very happy, of course. Well, children do love my both parents, but they saw they were better off with me.
So you must have been a very good dressmaker, and you had a very good clientele, and it was mostly word of mouth.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
You didn't work in department stores or anywhere like that too?
No. After my shop, no. When I left my place, when I was going through my divorce, I forgot to mention that.
Yes.
I went in the city of, with the
department store?
No,
or?
No, no. It's the Grot Street.
Yes.
Yes. I rented a little, the front of the shop.
Oh, right.
And I was working at the back.